Elementary Greek Grammar, Lesson 12, the imperfect tense with the omega verb. Vocabulary list. I will read down through it for you. Allah, apaktaino, Galilaya, this is a feminine noun, gay, another feminine noun, eti, hetoimazo, notice the rough breathing, therapuo, Iesus, that's Jesus, Israel, Israel, Ioannes, John, Kradzo, noon, uketi, it's an adverb as is noon, skatia, darkness, tate, another adverb, huparko, this is the third of our state of being verbs, I exist, it also takes complements instead of a direct object, it's an omega verb, and then finally hos. 12.2, review of verb endings. Three sets of present tense endings exist. The me set, the omega set, and the omai set. These are called primary because they are attached to the present tense. Below are the omega and omai set of endings. This is simply a review. Remember, the omega set of endings is in the left-hand chart. O, ice, I, amen, ette, usi, with an infinity form, ein. The omai set of endings are in the right-hand chart. Omai, a, atai, amatha, estha, antai, and esthai is the infinitive ending. The omicron epsilon thematic vowel is a buffer vowel between the stem and the ending. If the personal ending is a long vowel, omega and eta are the two long vowels, the thematic vowel combines with it and is not visible. That's why you don't see it in the first-person singular, luo, form. The omega is combined with thematic vowel. The thematic vowel is sometimes called a variable vowel, not because it changes from omicron to epsilon, but because in other tenses it changes to another vowel altogether or drops out altogether. We will see this in subsequent lessons. For instance, in the aorist tense, the variable vowel is an alpha, rather than omicron or epsilon. 12.3, the regular forms of the imperfect tense, the imperfect active endings. Greek has two past tenses, the imperfect and the aorist. They correspond roughly to the past progressive, that's the imperfect, and the simple past, the aorist. The endings for the imperfect tense are in the chart below. They are generally called the secondary active endings with omicron epsilon thematic vowel. Though like all so-called active endings, they may be attached to intransitive complete verbs. This grammar calls them simply omega verbs, which can take an omai ending for certain reasons. For instance, to turn an omega verb into a passive or reflexive. Here are the secondary active endings with omicron epsilon thematic vowel. I have not attached them to a verb at this point. You don't really need to memorize them until you memorize the verb luo, which is in the next paragraph. Here they are, though, for you. On, es, e, amen, ette, on. Now, in my case, I went through and I memorized all four sets of major endings, and we'll talk about that more as we continue on, because it's just easier to do it that way and then start attaching them to verbs. But at this point, make sure that you understand that these are attached to the imperfect tense of the omega verb. Note that the third person singular form, e, n, has no actual ending. Only the thematic vowel exists, though it sometimes has a movable nu for pronunciation purposes. That's when the following word is a vowel, usually. So that epsilon there for the third person singular, e, is in fact just the thematic vowel. It's not the ending. The endings technically are noon, sigma, nun, min, te, and noon. So there you have it, the imperfect omega endings. Another peculiarity of this set is that the first person singular and the third person plural share the same ending. Notice the on and the on in the two different columns. Only context can determine the distinction. The Greeks knew this, so the common use in the language was to use the endings so as to avoid ambiguity, sometimes by supplying a subject pronoun. These endings are considered secondary because they go with past or secondary tenses. Remember, these endings are considered active in form by most grammarians, but are not always attached to a transitive active verb. Rather, the verb may be intransitive complete, a verb with no direct object, in which case the verb technically has no voice. These endings are never passive. The augment. Here's something new for you. The imperfect tense changes the spelling of the stem by adding the letter epsilon before it. This is called an augment. All past time verbs in Greek begin with an augment. And there's a footnote here. Note, we did not say past tense, but past time. Time only occurs in the indicative mood. Verbs in the aorist tense, which carry the past time only in the indicative mood, do not carry it in the subjunctive or imperative moods. Therefore, aorist tense verbs in those moods will not have an augment, because in those moods, time is relative and the event only potential. Only the augment indicates past time, and it only occurs in the indicative mood. I say it that way because the endings do not indicate the past time. They indicate past tense, but in Greek, time and tense are two different things. Back to the first paragraph. The imperfect tense changes the spelling of the stem by adding the letter epsilon before it. This is called an augment. All past time verbs in Greek begin with an augment. It is the augment that indicates that the time is past, not the ending. All verbs studied this far have been in the indicative mood. As we shall see, once we leave the indicative mood, time ceases to be a factor with verb tense, and only the kind of action or state is involved. In the case of non-indicative mood verbs, or a non-indicative mood verb, in what would otherwise be a past time, such as the aorist, the augment drops off, while the regular secondary endings remain. This is because the augment tells past time, not the endings. And outside the indicative mood, including the infinitive, there is no time expressed by the verb. It is only relative to the form. The following chart of the imperfect indicative verb includes no infinitive endings. Ending. Tense with infinitives indicate only the kind of action, not the time. All infinitives, irrespective of tense, indicate a potential act, which, if it occurs at all, is after the time of the initial expression. The present infinitive indicates a kind of linear action, which is identical to the imperfect. Remember, both the present and imperfect are linear tenses. Hence, the imperfect has no infinitive form. Now, here's the infinitive, imperfect, indicative, rather, transitive, active, intransitive, complete of luo. So it's not just an active form. It can also be a complete form. I will read them to you. Eluan, Elues, Elue, or sometimes Eloan, Eluamen, Eluete, Eluan. Memorize these. Just like you memorize luo, luais, luai, luamen, luete, luusi, now memorize eluan, elues, elue, eluamen, eluete, eluan. You will save yourself a lot of headaches if you memorize those. Variations with the augment. Unfortunately, Greek is Greek, and so there are some changes to be learned. If the first letter of a Greek stem, a verb stem, is a vowel, the augment contracts with it according to established rules. The chart below indicates the most common contractions. Now, before we get into this, I want you to just look at the example, what I mean by contraction. The first one is illustrated by the word equivalent. So let's go back and look at just the first line of the chart. Epsilon added before an initial alpha combines to become eta. Now look down at the example. Akuamen means we hear or we are hearing in the present time becomes akuamen, we were hearing in the past time. Both are linear, so it's an ing form I use to translate them in these examples. But the akuamen, the eta of akuamen is the alpha plus the epsilon combined to become an eta. And that's what that first little line tells you. Epsilon added before an initial alpha combines to become an eta. Second line, epsilon added before an initial omicron combines to become omega. It lengthens the omicron. Epsilon added before an initial epsilon iota combines to become an eta with the iota subscript. The iota stays, but it goes subscript. Epsilon added before an initial oi combines to become omega with the iota subscript O. While these are by far the most common contractions, others are possible and must be learned when they occur. An analytical Greek lexicon is useful in these cases, and I recommend that you buy one if you don't have one yet. It's very helpful. The augment with prefixed prepositions. This is important. Augments are attached to the stem, not to the prefixed preposition. The order with verbs which have a prefix preposition, is preposition plus augment plus stem plus thematic vowel plus ending. There you have the order. Example. The imperfect of anabino, I go up, is anabinon, I was going up. What's happened there is the last vowel of the prefix preposition ana drops off, and the epsilon augment is added to the stem. This regularly occurs with the prefix when the prefix preposition ends in a vowel. Anabinon is broken down thusly. The prefix preposition is ana, and I put the alpha, the second alpha, in parentheses to indicate that it drops off when it changes into the imperfect. The augment is added to on, then bine, which is the stem, and then omicron, which is the thematic vowel, and then the ending is new. So, noon. So, ana binon is what results from that. You'll be seeing this a lot, so we'll be repeating this information. 12.4, the irregular forms for the imperfect of the state of being verb I me. Something about the state of being verb I me. Most languages, in fact, when you have the regular be verb, they are irregular, just like in English. I mean, we have all those forms for be. Am, are, is, was, were, be, being, and been. That's because it's such an irregular form. You can't just change it a little bit and keep the same stem. Well, that's what happens with I, me. Here's the present tense of I, me as we've already learned. And I recommend that you need to review this regularly. Here's I, me again. I, me, I, SD, Esmond, Esta, I, see. And then, of course, SD and I, see can have the movable new. The following chart represents the imperfect forms for the verb I, me. Amen, ace, ain, amen, eta, asan. Be very careful to memorize these as forms of the verb I, me in the imperfect. Amen, ace, ain, amen, eta, asan. This is very important. You have to memorize all the forms of I, me, and I give them to you a little bit at a time. So now we have two sets of forms for I, me. I, me, ISD, Esmond, Esta, I, see. Amen, Ace, Ain, Amen, Eta, Asan. There's a future, Esomaisa, Esatai, Esamata, Esesta, Esantai. We'll learn later. You'll notice I've got it memorized now because it's important to keep these in your mind. They occur. This is probably the most common verb in the New Testament in one form or another. 12.5, the function of the imperfect tense. The student will recall that in the indicative mood, the verb indicates both time and kind of action. The present tense is a linear or continuous tense because the kind of action or state is ongoing. The same is true of the imperfect. In the indicative mood, it is past time, linear action. That's the imperfect, past time, linear action, in the indicative mood. Hence, we translate the verb eluon, I was loosing, you were loosing, and so on. However, there are subtle differences that must be observed. Dana and Manti list three regular uses of the imperfect tense. And if you look at the footnote, I give you the page number where those are found in Dana and Manti. And then also note that there are three, they call them special uses. And they occur quite a bit too. I don't know why they call them special. At any rate, they also occur quite a bit, at least especially the inceptive, which is the third of the three special uses. So I recommend that you study all six of those. But here I give you just the first three. The progressive imperfect, like the present, the simple use of the imperfect is linear action. This is sometimes called the descriptive imperfect because it describes the action as going on over a period of time. It's just the regular imperfect. The customary imperfect. This Greek usage corresponds to the strange English idiom used to, as when we say, we used to go to the beach, but now we go to the desert. Greek has no direct way to indicate past customary action, other than the imperfect tense. And there are a number of examples of this in the New Testament. Context determines when the customary imperfect is being used. And here's an example. And this is taken from Mark 15:16. I will give it to you. There's some words here that are of specialized use in this context. So I'll go through them one by one. The first word, kata, is translated here, during. Usually it is down from, down upon, or according to. But here, in time-related uses, kata means during the period of time. De is the word and or but. It's post-positive, so it always occurs second or third in the Greek clause in which it occurs. But we must translate it as the first. So these two words, kata de, instead of translating them during and, we translate them and during. Heortain. Feast. Now, I put the word the there. During feast doesn't make sense in English, so we put during the feast. There's a specific feast in view, but you don't have to use the for that because everybody knew which feast was going on here. Heortain is feast. Notice the rough breathing. Apeluin. Now, that is a form of apeluo, which means to release, set free, or even destroy. Apelumi is actually, the me form is actually means I destroy. But apeluo or apeluin here is set free or release. He used to set free or release for them. Hena, autois is for them. Hena, one, desmion, prisoner. And during the feast, he used to set free for them one prisoner. This is Mark 15:16. In this example, the imperfect tense verb, apeluin is derived from apeluo, I release or set free. Now, how do you know it means that? Well, because it's obvious what's going on here, and we know from other sources that this was sometimes a common practice in New Testament times, at special times, to set free a prisoner. And so it was a regular, customary, past tense event. He used to do it all the time. The iterative imperfect, when an action repeats at various intervals in the past. The author uses the imperfect tense. Some translate this using the vernacular kept on. Sometimes it's just left to the reader to understand in some translations. They don't always use kept on. That seems like an awkward phrase for many English speakers, although in the United States we use it all the time. So here's an example. This is taken from John 19, verse 3. Kai and Eluan. Now, technically, Eluan means he was saying, but they were saying. It's actually the third person, not he. It would be Eloa if it were he. Eluan is either I or they, and the context is they were saying. Kaire, that is the way of saying hello or hail. Ha basileus, the king. Ton, Eudaion of the Jews, and they kept on saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They always put the article with king, but it's still a direct address. King of the Jews. Hail, King of the Jews. Now, Elohim is something that they kept saying. It's implied in the context that this was a regular chant that was going on. And so you can translate that they kept on. Iterative, imperfect. It was something that kept being repeated. Now, the strange case, and it is a very strange case, of the imperfect indicative of echo. I don't know how this came about, but, well, I sort of do, but it's really strange. And here, it's just good to have this in front of you. Echo becomes, which means I have, becomes icon, I was having, ikes, you were having, ike, we were, he, she, or it was having, ikamen, we were having, ikete, you were having, icon, they were having. It's really strange looking, I know, but it's still legitimate. So there you have it. Exercises. When writing the imperfect forms, here's something that I gave you so you can practice looking at the imperfect. I ask you to do this. It would help you. It helped me a lot when I sat down and did a similar exercise. Write the imperfect conjugation of the following verbs, making sure to write the breathing marks. Accents aren't necessary, but don't forget the augments. The imperfect form. Look at the first one. I kill. Notice it has a prefix preposition, apa. Now we learned that when you add an augment, it's added to the stem. So it's going to come between the omicron and the kappa. But omicron epsilon cannot occur. So with prefix prepositions ending in a vowel, the omicron will drop off. So it'll become apa, ap-e, it will become, the a will drop off, ap-e, there's the augment, ktain on, apaktainon. Remember, and there's a bunch of them here that have prefix prepositions. Anabino, katabino, apostello, that's apa is a prefix preposition in apostello. So keep those in mind. And then some of these have vowels as the first letter. Remember the rules of contraction. Like ago, and akuo down at the bottom of the list there, and hetoimadzo at the top. So make sure that you pay attention to those. I recommend that you practice doing that, and it's good practice, and it'll help you remember. Diagramming and translation are followed, and that ends this lesson.